13. Last week we started a story about Samson, and we are going to continue on in Samson for a few different weeks. And we talked about last week how a judge was born. God had planned and destined this gentleman to help deliver Israel, but we learned at the part that one of the sad things we learned about Samson's life, he did not live up to his destiny. Did not live up to what God intended for him to do, what God wanted him to do. God had, you think about it, it says, and we look at that verse in chapter 13, verse number 5, it says how he began to deliver Israel out of the hand of the Philistines. All the other judges before him did what? They delivered them. Samson was an individual who started but never finished. But you think about it, you see that Samson had the opportunity to supernaturally do greater things than any of the other judges. I know Gideon had the opportunity to take on that 135,000, however 150,000 men, and with the 300 men, and that is supernatural, and I understand what you're saying, but he had power. Samson had individual power, physical power, that none of the other judges had. But what happened is he didn't fulfill that responsibility. You say, why? We're going to look at that in the next few weeks, but one thing I think we need to look at and see in the first 9 verses here is that there's warning signs. Everywhere you go today, there's warning signs. There's road signs that, you know, tell you there's danger that's ahead or tell you to slow down. And there's signs when it comes to our physical lives, you know, when our physical body has pain or tenderness or fatigue, things like that. They're all indications that there's problems in the body. You should not ignore those signs. You think about it, there's warning signs in our mind that there's a problems when there's even feelings of sadness or hopelessness or anxiety, things that lead to depression and things like that. If we ignore those signs, we're being very foolish. The Bible says, a prudent man foreseeth the evil and hideth himself, but the simple pass on and are punished. There's also spiritual warning signs. When we slack up on our commitment to the Lord, maybe if we feel comfortable about not being in God's house, or when we don't pray and we don't read our Bible, and we maybe don't give like we know God wants us to, or maybe even harboring things such as bitterness and unforgiveness in our hearts. When we hold on to these feelings, these are signs that we're flirting with sin. And the question is, when we see these danger signs, are we going to fix them? Are we going to ignore them? I know I don't like going to the doctors. That's just me. I think that's most people. Nobody really likes being put to the doctors and having to. But when you have something going on in your body, you know there's something wrong. Remember when I had a kidney stone that night? I didn't want to go to the hospital, but it didn't take very long at all to say, you know what? I need to go to the hospital. There's not something I can do about this. But there's other times when I deal with little pains like my back. I sat there and dealt with it for a long time before I ever went to the doctor because we just don't like going. Spiritual signs are something that we should not mess around with. We have no business messing around with these warning signs. We should take examination of ourselves often. We should look at ourselves and we should learn from the things that we're going through and learn from the things that we are doing. In our text, Samson manifests all the signs of a man that's headed for trouble in his life. He is headed for a problem, but you know what? He ignored every one of those signs, and he traveled farther and farther down a road that led to dishonor and led to defeat and death. Samson took these first steps down the road to ruin. He had no idea where the path was going to lead him, but in the end, it caused death and also never accomplishing what God desired for his life. So let's read verses 1 through 9, and we're going to look at 5 different warning signs. And my hope is tonight that if we see any of these warning signs in our own life, that we'll say, you know what? There's a danger ahead. And this danger that's ahead, I need to work on. So let's see here, and we'll just go ahead and read verses 1 through 9, give you a little bit of a commentary to it, and we will then look at these 5 warning signs. First verse says, and Samson went down. I think it's kind of interesting, it says he went down, and that's, you're going to see that he goes down a couple of times. And that obviously he's talking about geographically, but, you know, we go down when we sin. We leave God's exalted plan for our life, God's destiny for our life, and we go down when we choose to do our own ways. It says, and Samson went down to Timnath, Now, Timnath, if I remember correctly, is a city that's in Dan, but remember the Philistines are there, and they are occupying many of the cities. And Saul, woman of Timnath, of the daughters of the Philistines, so they've taken up residency in this area, and he goes and he sees this woman. And he came up and told his father and his mother and said, I have seen a woman in Timnath of the daughters of the Philistines. Now, therefore, get her for me to wife. Now, we think that's kind of interesting. You know, why would he say to his parents, go get her? Be like, son, if you like that girl, you go talk to her. But back in Bible times, there was many times made arrangements between the fathers, and there was a dowry that was paid and things like that. So that's what we're assuming here, that he is asking for his parents to make the arrangement for him to have this woman as his wife. There's a problem, though. Verse number 3, then his father and his mother said unto him, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren and among all my people that thou goest to take a wife of the uncircumcised Philistines? And Samson said unto his father, get her for me, for she pleaseth me well. You get the idea here that when you're looking through these chapters that Samson might be a little spoiled. He kind of does practical jokes. He kind of gets mad and angry and throws a little fit here and there. But in this verse, there's some interesting things. I look at that phrase as, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? It makes me think that this is not the first time it's happened. And if you look at the story of Samson, they're characterized and built around three different women. And it's this woman at Timnath, and there's another harlot that's in the Philistine area, and then there's Delilah. All ungodly, unholy women, and he has given himself over to desires and has given himself over to pursuing after these women. And because of that, what has he done? He's walked away from God's will for his life. But you see here, he says, is there never a woman among the daughters of thy brethren? And he's saying they're in the same tribe. And then he goes out to say, among all my people. And the truth of the reality is there is people that good godly Christians that people can marry. And he's saying to him, look, go find a woman amongst them. And you say, Pastor, sometimes people can't find what they're looking for. Well, the question is, what are you looking for in a mate? Here he doesn't even talk to the woman. He looks at her and he wants her. So it's not something that is, he does not really care about her personality because probably doesn't even know anything about it. Obviously doesn't care about spiritual things because she worships false gods. But there are people that are going to live for God, and you can serve and you can find the right. And so that's why we should encourage our sons and daughters to make sure they marry the right individual. So Pastor, what if they can't? Well, make sure that they're being the right individual too. I tell them all the time, you know, when we're talking about dating, you know, if you're looking for a godly mate someday, someone who loves the Lord, someone who's pure, someone who's kept himself, wants to serve God, make sure that those qualities are found in you, because why would God give someone who is one of his prime candidates doing God's will over to someone else who's not serving God? So if that's what you want to be, make sure you're looking for that. Make sure you have your list and your standard of what you're looking for in a mate, and obviously it's whatever God wants, but make sure that you're living the life that God wants you to do when you marry someone who's living the life God wants them to do. Let's keep on going. And he says, look, there's plenty of women. Choose one of them. But Samson says, no. I think it's kind of interesting. He says, get her for me. You know, that really doesn't sound like a very good dating line. Hey, get her for me. That's not how we work nowadays, does it? And then it's all found at the end. For she pleaseth me. You know, she pleaseth me well. It's all about Samson. It's all about what Samson's want. Samson's like, I don't care what you say, Mom. Don't care what you say, Dad. She's what makes me happy. Let's keep on going. Verse number 4. But his father and mother knew not that it was of the Lord that he sought an occasion against the Philistines. For at that time, the Philistines had dominion over Israel. So look here for a second. You know, this is a verse that causes some confusion. I think that word he that's found in the middle of the verse is referring back to God. It's not referring to Samson. God's going to take Samson's sin and use it to help deliver the Philistines. But he is not going to condone Samson's sin. You think about how he used Judas and Judas's betrayal and to bringing Christ to the cross. It's not that he condoned it. Instead, Jesus tried to help him understand, we know what you're doing, and even gives him an opportunity to get right in the garden. But it's the thought here that God is going to take the wrath of man to glorify God. And that's even found in the Bible where it says, surely the wrath of man shall praise thee. So there's nothing in the text that would corroborate that this word refers to Samson. Is that antecedent of he can only refer to the Lord here. So I think he's talking about how God's not going to be deterred from his plan. Just because Samson's doing wrong, God's still going to use him to help begin to deliver the Philistines. So we see here in this that God allowed this to happen, and God's going to use this and his relationship with the Philistines to begin this battle. And some might say, well, if Samson never married the Philistine woman, then guess that confrontation would have never happened. I disagree. If Samson would have done things right, God would have even allowed a greater confrontation to happen. God would have been able to allow the delivery to happen all the time. Let's keep on going. Verse number 5. Then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyard of Timnath. And behold, a young lion warred against him. In this story, in this verse, you get this idea that mom and dad give in. They're going down once again, as you saw. And it seems like they've gotten parted. You know, they're headed down the road, and Samson takes a turn and goes to the vineyard. Now, remember from the Nazarite vow that Samson's not supposed to drink of anything of the vine, but so he really doesn't have any business being in the vineyard. And while he's there, it says a young lion, roared against him. So Samson is in danger here. Verse number 6, and the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him, and he rent him as he would rent a kid, and he had nothing to his hand, but he told not his father or his mother what he had done. So you see there must have been a separation there. Mom and dad's still walking. He goes off his own little way, probably turns into the vineyard, and he destroys this lion with his bare hands. And that's something that is amazing, and it's because of God's power. Verse number 7, and he went down and talked with the woman, and she pleased Samson well. Verse number 8, and after a time he returned to take her, and he turned aside to see the carcass of the lion, and behold, there was a swarm of bees and honey in the carcass of the lion. So we see here he kills the lion, leaves the lion, the carcass there. Remember from the Nazarite vow, he's not allowed to touch a dead animal. He goes, he gets the honey out of the carcass, doesn't care about the vow he's taken. Verse number 9, he took thereof in his hands and went on eating, came to his father and mother and gave them and did not eat. And they did eat. But he told not them that he had taken the honey out of the carcass of the lion. So he does something wrong by going and back in the vineyard again where he really doesn't need to be. He picks up the honey and he takes it to his mother and father. And he knows his mother and father would not approve. And he gets them involved in his sin. He's playing here with God in my mind. He's saying, God, I know what you told me to do, but God, I don't really care. This is what I want. And he goes and takes and eats of it. And then he even includes his mom and dad in this sin. That's sad. Mom and dad that we know are from the last chapter, they're people who loved the Lord and people who waited on God and people who respected God. Obviously, we know there looks like there's some trouble here by giving in to her kids, but at the same time, they wouldn't have took part of that. That's why I didn't tell them. So let's look here. Here's the message. Five different warning signs. And maybe if you see these things in your life, we see in the life of Samson here, that maybe you can say, you know what? This is something I need to work on. First warning sign I see is trusting your heart more than God's word. Trusting your heart more than God's word. And this is open and obvious throughout the whole story. Samson wanted what he wanted. Didn't matter what God's word said. Samson wanted what he wanted when it came to the woman. Samson wanted what he wanted when it came to going through the vineyard. Samson wanted what he wanted when it came to eating the honey. Remember, the Bible says the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? When we begin to trust our hearts more than we trust God's word, that is a warning sign. That's a big blinking sign and say, God, I know what your word says, but this is how I feel. His father told him it was wrong. He didn't care, but he cared more about his desires. He knew it was wrong, but he cared more about his desires. Get her for me. She hath pleased me well. You know, these are things that we, is a warning sign when we say, I want what I want more than what God's word wants for me. It's a downward path. He went down in verses 1 and 5. It's a deviation of his path. In verse number 8, it said he had to turn aside to see the carcass of the lion. So he had to turn aside from the path. So God had a plan and a promise for his life. And guess what? Samson turned aside from that. It was not God's will for him to marry a Philistine woman. We see that over and over in the Bible. It's not God's will for a Christian to marry an unsaved person. The Bible says, be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers. For what fellowship have righteousness with unrighteousness? What communion have light with darkness? And this is an area that where people come and say, hey, this is how I feel. My heart can't be wrong. It's got to be right. It's got, and that's what Samson's saying. This is what I want. It feels that way. That's a warning sign. It's a big red sign there. You know what? I know the Bible says this, but my heart feels that. Your heart can deceive you. It is desperately wicked. Be careful. Second warning sign is when you're not willing to listen to authority. When you're not willing to listen to authority. Now, you say, well, where's the authority here? Well, Samson's mom and dad are still there, and he's coming to them, and there is an authority there. Maybe Samson isn't a little boy. And you say, well, they still have to give their blessing to this. But we can understand the point here is he doesn't respect his mom and dad. I mean, you get that. And, you know, doesn't listen to what his mom and dad says. He dismisses it. He includes them in the sin. You even see the disrespectfulness that he has. You know, mom and dad are walking to this place. And you see that he turns to the side. He goes a different way. He doesn't even walk with them the entire time. You see here, it is a warning sign when we cannot get along with authority. One preacher put it this way. Can you be right with God and wrong with your authority? Can you be right with God and wrong with your authority? The Bible says, submit yourselves to every ordinance of man for the Lord's sake, whether it be king as supreme or unto governors as unto them that are sent by him for the punishment of evildoers and for the praise of them that do well. I know what your argument, what if they tell us to do wickedness? Well, Peter had that response. We ought to obey God rather than man. But it's how is our relationship with our authority? The Bible says, servants obey in all things your master according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. What is the different authorities in your life, and how is your relationship with that authority in your life? It is a big sign, a big red blinking sign when you hear people complaining about authority. I remember when I was a youth pastor, if a kid would jump in the van and start complaining about their mom and dad, I'm not going to listen to it. Now, if they have a concern and they want to come, I'm not talking about coming to me privately and having a counseling session. No, I'm talking about getting in the van and says, can you believe what my mom did or what my dad did, and begin to belittle their mother or father or belittle their teachers at school and think, now that's not where we should be. That's not what the Bible says. And we need to be very, very careful with the authorities, because you hear somebody complaining about authorities in your life, and then that's something you got to be very careful with. You know, that's a warning sign for me. I told them that more than once. I remember how young people can't wait to get out of the house so they don't have anybody to tell them what to do. The really smart ones go into the military so they don't have anybody to tell them what to do. But we know in the military, people tell them what to do. They get a job. You know what people do? They tell you what to do. And it's the importance to understand here. Samson is spoiled, we can see from this, but he doesn't respect authority. That's a warning sign. You know, if they're not going to respect authority that God has put over them, are they going to respect God? And it's obviously in both of these occasions, it does not. So the first warning sign is trusting your heart more than God's word. The second warning sign is when you're not willing to listen or respect authority. The third warning sign is when being in the wrong place does not bother you. When being in the wrong place does not bother you. Numbers chapter 6, verses 3 and 4 talks about how they could not eat anything from a vine. So the question is, what is a Nazirite doing in a vineyard? He could not drink the wine. He had no business being around the vineyard. This simply reveals the disobedience of Samson's heart. You might say, well, that might have been a shortcut. Okay. But, you know, he went back and he looked at that lion and he looked at the carcass. He had gone back to things. And it makes me think that people sometimes feel like they can be immune to temptation. You know, he's entering into this area and he says, I'm okay. I can be around that person. I can be in that place and nothing bother me. But we learned this past week on Sunday that we should put on Jesus Christ, not to fulfill the lust of the flesh. Perhaps he thought that not being allowed to drink of the vine shouldn't be the case. Who knows what he thought? But his disobedience revealed by placing himself in a place where he could be tempted to break his vows to the Lord. The same is true with us. When we continue to place ourselves in situations that we know are could be hardships and we know could be problems for us, where we know we're going to be tempted to sin, we're struggling then. The Bible gives us clear thought when it says the prudent man foreseeth the danger and hideth himself. We need to be careful. If we can be in a place where there is wickedness all around us and it not even bother us, and the idea that it's tempting us and we can be in the wrong spot with the wrong people, sort of like when Psalms 1, it talks about the ungodly and the counsel of the ungodly. And then it talks about standing in the way of sinners and sitting in the seat of the scornful. Be careful when you can feel comfortable being in the wrong spot. Number four, the fourth warning sign. When you're willing to take chances with God's wrath. When you're willing to take chances with God's wrath. Say, Pastor, where do you see that in the story? I don't see it. Well, I don't know about you, but when I look in verse number 9, and he's down, verse number 8 and verse number 9, he knows the rules. He's already in the vineyard. He's already being tempted. The lion comes and presents itself. He pulls the carcass apart, and he goes back to that spot. To me, he's saying, God, I don't care what you think. God, I'm going to go marry this woman because she pleases me. God, I'm going to go back and I'm going to eat this honey, even though I know it's against your will. I know it's against what you want me to do. What are you going to do to me, God? And I see him bending over and picking it up and then even handing it to his mom and dad. It's like saying, okay, God, I know what your will for me is, but I don't care. He's playing with God. And I think that's a very dangerous place. And when we see the blinking sign, we see the warning signs just going over top Samson's head. Danger's ahead. Danger's ahead. Sin, you know, it's when we willfully discard God's will for our lives, we always pull others down with us. But also we see here that Samson touched a dead lion. He violated his vow. And the truth is we don't get away with our sin. The Bible talks about, be not deceived, God is not mocked, for whatsoever thou soweth, thou shalt also reap. You will surely face God someday. Someday you will stand before God, but disobedience carries a very high price. And that's what we see in this life of Samson, don't we? I mean, in the end, they pluck out his eyes, and he is made to be like an animal working for them. You know, high price of disobedience. There will be a payday someday. It's a warning sign when we see someone who is willing to take their chances with God and look up in the face of God and says, God, I know what you want me to do, but I just don't care. That's a warning sign. And you say, of course it's a warning sign. Well, have we done that? Is there an area in our life that we say, God, I refuse to do this? So let's look at these four warning signs again. First, when we trust our heart more than we trust God's word, when we not willing or to respect or listen to authority, when we also are willing to be in the wrong place and doesn't even bother us, and when we're willing to take chances with God's wrath. And the last but not least is the fifth warning sign is when you try to include others in your sin. When you try to include others in your sin. I've learned something that lots of times people do not like to sin alone. They try to pull other people in. Lots of times people are not happy with being miserable themselves in their sin, but instead they are trying to bring their sin to everyone else. Wicked people are never content to enjoy their wickedness all alone. Misery loves companies, and so do miserable sinners. Samson is so filled with pride that he even never considers the consequences of his actions. He eats the honey from the lion. He defiles himself. And there was a way for him to get that right with God. He would have had, if I remember correctly, the Nazarite vow. He had to go and pay a price, even had to shave his head. By giving it to his parents, he causes them to also eat of the defiled thing. When we willfully disregard God's will for our lives, we many times pull others down with us. We see this in families all the time. One member will get out of God's will and they'll pull the rest of the family away with them. It is sad but true, but most of us never stop to think the impact of our decisions have on the lives of others. Wickedness in our lives always impacts those that are around us. And Samson sees this and he pulls his mom and dad into his selfishness, into having this agreement with the Philistines and now also with this sin here. It blinds our eyes to the true consequences of our sin because sin is deceiving. All we see is pleasure. All we see is the sweet honey and say, that would taste good. So think about it. Samson had to hide his sin from his parents. And because he hid from his sins, he was willing to even defile his own parents. So let's think about this a little bit. When we look at the story of Samson, we think, man, what a privileged guy. He had a special birth. He had godly parents. He was going to have the opportunity to deliver his nation from the people of the Philistines. You think about it, God's spirit would come upon him at different times, and he could do amazing things like tearing apart a lion. I couldn't even imagine that and what that would be like, or even imagine what that would look like. And we see other times, you're going to see great feats after great feat in the Bible, but he never, ever makes and accomplishes God's will altogether. He does a little bit here, a little bit there. Why? And you see here in verses 1 through 9. He trusts his heart more than he trusts God. It's because he's not willing to listen to authority, and that starts with God and then the God-given authorities. Because he's willing to go down to places where he shouldn't be. It doesn't just stop here. The next woman is a harlot that's in the Philistines. Again, he shouldn't even be there. The next woman is Delilah in the place with the Philistines. Again, he shouldn't be there. He's comfortable being places he shouldn't be. Where does it start? It starts messing around with things that are, it's not a sin to be in the vineyard. Yeah, but you're going to a place that's going to cause you to sin, that's going to tempt you to sin. We should be careful with that. It also goes to the spot where we try to draw others to sin too and include others in our sin. Tonight, if you really, truly want to reach God's will for your life, look at these five warnings. Is there a warning here that would say, you know what, I am trusting my heart a little bit too much. You know what, there's a relationship with me and an authority that there's a problem with, and I need to get that right. Or there's a problem between me and God. Or there's a spot in my life where I'm trying to include other people in my sins. Or there's a spot where I know God really doesn't want me to go, but it really technically isn't sin. Yeah, I don't really act godly when I'm there. I don't think about God when I'm there, but it's not really that big of a deal. It's okay. That's what the vineyards represent. Let's be very careful when we try to play with God. Because I think sometimes that's what we do. We know what we're supposed to do. We choose not to, and then we say, okay, God, what are you going to do about it? Because God's wrath didn't fall just like that. Samson continues on. Because sometimes we don't see the punishment of God right away. We just keep on going on and on and on with it. But be sure your sin will find you out. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Make sure that you have a good relationship with him. And you're walking with him. And love, like we talked about Sunday night, just be real with yourself. Be real with God. If there's areas you struggle in, you know, talk to the Lord about it. Work on those things. And use that guideline, those tests that we talked about on Sunday night. But the question is there a danger sign in your life? Is there something in your life that's kind of blinking? Sort of like you had that check engine light on your car and you think, oh, there's really nothing wrong with it. That comes on every once in a while just because of an O2 sensor. I don't really got to look at that. Or you see that the tire pressure is low. Oh, that's just because that's not a big deal. And then you have a blowout or your engine breaks down because you didn't pay attention to the warning signs. Samson ended up having a huge problem because he didn't pay attention to the warning signs. Let's go ahead and stand to our feet.